That's entertainment. Back with you for another hour to finish off the week as we park all the trials and tribulations of life and open up a new can of worms as we talk about all things entertainment, art, stage, music, whatever it might be. Michael 007 Letty, writer and blogger, joins us as usual. Good morning to you, Michael.
Good morning to
you. How are you getting on?
I'm getting on the very best. It's good to see you again.
Yeah, you look really smart. That's Friday.
Well,
your tuxedo was that
it was great. We were all in our tuxedos, and it was great fun. It was great fun. It was a proper. It was a rare night out for me where I had to behave like an adult, and I think I more or less pulled it off.
Indeed,
and I was in good, very good company. It was a real privilege to be out there. So great fun.
Conor Malone, manager of the Ballard Theatre in Ballard Buffet, as well with us. Good morning, Conor. Great
morning,
to have you back on. How are you keeping?
I'm keeping good. Good stuff.
Right, okay, lots to get through here. A lot of Star Wars to get through here as well, it would seem. But let's start with St. Columba's School Musical, actually. It's just a little bit different, if that's okay.
Yeah,
it's doing really well.
Yeah, it's flying. It's every year now for God knows how many years we've kind of cooperated with St. Columba's, the local school, to do a fantastic school musical. So it started last Tuesday, runs for 5 nights, finishes Saturday. Back to the 80s is the musical that they're doing, so full of 80s hits.
Mm-hmm.
And, 5 sold-out nights, absolutely fantastic reaction from the crowd, absolutely fantastic performance from the students on the stage. It always just blows me away.
Do you be surprised that I think the music teachers have to take an awful lot of credit as well, but that these schools put on such professional shows, you know, so rounded, so well performed.
Oh,
you know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah,
if you've never seen one, you might think it's the kids now. It's not like that at
not
all.
At all not at all. Not at all. And I mean, you know, you nail on the head. I have to give great credit to Nicola Roach, who's the music teacher in St. Columba's. You hear some of the talent and the musical talent, and also our own Caroline Bell. Caroline directs the show,
yeah.
And Nicola is the musical director, and the two of those, they just have such a fantastic way of working with the kids. You know, they nurture and encourage as well, and it really, really, when you just see the talent that is around in our young people, and when you allow them to express it, what they can do with it, absolutely fantastic.
Yeah.
And you know, we bring them into the Ballard, so they have the professional sound and lighting, and we do a lot of the help with the sets along with the woodwork department and stuff up in the school.
It raises it a level with
it does,
the best
it
of respect to it. Just it brings it up to a professional level because they're sharing a stage with some of the biggest shows and performers that are out there.
And in fairness to them, it brings the technical production up to what their talent deserves, because their talent matches the technical levels. And it really is, you know, as you said, forget about the fact that it's a school musical or these kids. You just leave going, that was a great show.
Great
and
show.
All credit to them and everybody
great
involved.
Great tunes as well. And, you know, they're not, I think I'm a fan. I noticed from my years of DJing, and I saw someone else commenting on it as well, that does teenage discos, which I obviously don't do any of it anymore, and our own Kevin and others there that would do the discos for the younger ones. The songs that get them out are actually still the 80s and 90s, like ABBA, and as I say, a lot of the 90s dance classics, if you know what I mean. So I think a lot of them have been reared with this music. It's not like, oh, I've never heard Girls Just Want to Have Fun, or I've never heard whatever it might be.
I'm always there going, how do you know that song?
Exactly,
Well, I was playing it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. They don't have to learn anything in that regard. It's all sold out now, so really we're just patting them on the back. There's no more tickets or shows available.
No, there's no more tickets, there's no more shows. We don't have room for any more shows. Right. They finish on a Saturday night. We pull down that set, pull up the panto set.
Yeah, and we'll talk about the panto in a bit, because I think Michael has that down for a chat as well. Let's go to the cinema now, The Marvels.
The Marvels.
What is this?
This is the newest of the Marvel superhero films. I think you may remember I'm somewhat of a fan of those. I've been to the cinema twice this week to see The Marvels, and I shall be returning at some stage, maybe over the weekend, to see it a third time. So I liked it, it's safe to say. This one brings Brie Larson back as Captain Marvel for her second go-round as a lead, although she has appeared in Avengers and various things, but yes, in a support capacity. And it's a rare film in that I often say about the Marvel movies, they're very, you know, no matter how, whatever the number is at the end of the credit, I always say to you, Greg, you know, pretty much a standalone film and anybody can go along to see it. In this case, however, this is very much a continuation of Captain Marvel, and it's also a continuation of the TV series Ms. Marvel, and a continuation of the WandaVision TV series, because it brings together three different characters and sets them together for the first time on a grand adventure. It's great fun, shorter than your typical blockbuster. It was so great after complaining week after week, going along to see Martin Scorsese's epic and complaining about how long it was and so many other films, to actually be shocked and almost dismayed because I was enjoying the film so much, and to see, oh my gosh, I've been here less than 2 hours. That was good. That was a good thing. It's got the usual Marvel...
I didn't get that thing about film being too long if it's good enough.
Yeah, well, the idea is that if a movie is good, you won't see the passage of time. Like, you know, but if you're at that stage where you think, oh God, there's another hour to go, that's not a good sign of how invested you are in the characters. Yeah. And that happens sometimes to me in recent times. It didn't happen here. This was great fun. It's fun for all the family. It's very much female-centric in terms of the main characters, the villains, something Marvel has been doing more and more with their TV shows. Miss Marvel wasn't the best of their TV shows, but it was a very adorable show with a teenage superhero who I find adorable. Everybody, I think, most people find her adorable as well. So you get to see her on the big screen as she gets to meet her idol. She spent the 6 episodes of Miss Marvel talking about Captain Marvel, and now in this movie she gets to meet her. Beyond that, it's very much...
So do you have to watch the series before
Yeah,
you can
that's what I'm saying, yeah. You kind of will... It's kind of a follow-on. It's like season 2 of the TV series. So unlike most of... every Marvel film where you can almost go in and just watch it fresh, I think you'd be better off having seen the TV shows or the movies that lead into it. But that doesn't mean they don't explain who everybody is, but I think you'll get more out of it if you've seen these characters before. I thought it was great fun. I'll be going back. I enjoyed it more the second time. Fionnuala came along with me yesterday. She's not available today, but she enjoyed it as well. Don't think she enjoyed it as much as me, but I don't think anybody enjoys the Marvel films quite as much as me. But she did enjoy it. She came along yesterday with me.
Do you think it's off-putting to new people to go, oh, I have all this homework to do before.
It's really off-putting to me.
But
that's
as
why
I
asked about, do you have to watch?
Yeah. But as I said before,
I don't know, is that how you present it? You see, he's my source. It could just be Michael Letty.
Yeah,
it could
just
be me off.
As I,
you know what I mean? It literally could just be him.
As I say before,
and not the whole movement.
Most of them, like up until this, they've been standalone. You don't need to have seen the other Ant-Man movies to go and see Ant-Man. You don't need to have seen previous Doctor Strange to understand this one. I think this one is a rare exception in that you're probably better off.
It's just that it's like if I says to you, have you seen Breaking Bad? It's fantastic. But you're going to have to watch 5 series of The Shawshank, not The Shawshank Redemption, The Thin Blue Line. And you know what I mean? And you go, right, okay, sounds good, but I'm never going to start all of that, so I'll never see Breaking Bad.
As I sit here saying to you, you don't need to do that, what do you actually hear me saying?
No, I don't know. I don't really hear it.
I heard you say you need to watch Miss Marvel, you need to see Captain Marvel.
In this instance, yeah. As I said,
but
as
if
I said
you
before,
do, yeah, the payoff is worth it.
I think the payoff is worth it, yeah. I mean, if you've seen
it. And are you happy it's short or you wish it was longer?
Well, the thing is, it's a good thing to be able to say about a film like, oh my God, you know, I wanted another half hour. If when I came out of Scorsese's latest film and I said, and Fionnuala said, and everyone I've spoken to said, my God, that's an hour too long. That's not a good thing.
That's not so much the length, is it? That's, you feel like there's padding in this.
Our attention span? Do you know maybe being conditioned?
Maybe,
do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That right, I want to. Do you know,
yeah,
like, because what you'd have no problem at home because you would say, right, I'm going to split this into 3 hours,
2 nights, yeah, or something.
You know what
like,
I
yeah.
mean? And you would conclude it, and you go, actually, do you know what? That was quite a good film, and you broke it up. Being conditioned now that you go to the cinema and it's no longer than 2 hours. Our attention span, I think, is
you could do that with Killers because.
Speaking of that, I'm going to have to take an ad very shortly. Right, so...
Very good.
What did you think of it then?
Oh, 9 out of 10. I thought it was great fun. Any diehard Marvel fans will enjoy it. And anyone who's looking for a fun, family-friendly movie will definitely enjoy this as well. It's got comedy, it's got action, and it's got pussycats and they're adorable kittens and they're flying around and they're... I won't spoil anything, but they're the cats in these movies are not cats. All they're right, aliens. It's, okay. It's great fun.
Right, we're going to give you a chance now to win a €50 fuel voucher thanks to our friends at Kelly's Centre at the Mountaintop in Leitrim. Kenny, we ask, are you getting ready for Santa season and are celebrating our community this Christmas? They are. We will be working with Little Angels and raising funds over the festive season. We will have a number of giveaways in store and on social media. There'll be golden tickets in store with discounts and a grand prize. And you may see the crew at Kelly's out and about with a very special guest. Now, to celebrate this, we are giving one of you a chance to win a €50 fuel voucher to fuel up at Circle K. And the question is, what is the name of the robot in Kelly's Diner in the Mountaintop? Is it A, Oreo, or is it B, Margine? Text your answer and your name and where you're from to 086 60 25000. What's the name of the robot in Kelly's Diner in the Mountaintop? Is it A, Oreo, or B, Margine? And one of you in this next 46 minutes will win a €50 fuel voucher to fuel up at Circle K. I'll give you another reminder of that in about 10 to 15 minutes. Hi all, I watched All the Light We Cannot See on Netflix, set in occupied France during World War II, starring Mark Ruffalo and Hugh Laurie. Enjoyable watch. Also started a TV show, Payback, which is set in Edinburgh. Dodgy accounts and gang bosses. What else do you need? Okay, two recommendations there. I was on, I think it's Amazon, Jack Reacher, the series, and it says there's two series, and I clicked into it, and then I went to series two, and then it says no episodes available.
December 17th.
So they've listed it, and are they doing it weekly or?
I think they're dropping all the episodes on the 17th. Yeah, myself and Luna were actually chatting about that yesterday. We're both very excited for season two of Reacher, which is an excellent action show.
Yeah, but they shouldn't list two episodes, seasons if there isn't two seasons. Okay, we're going to be back with more from Michael Leddy and Conor Malone after this quick break. Former RTE presenter Ryan Tubridge has announced he's moving to Virgin Radio UK in London. He'll helm the mid-morning show on Virgin Radio from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. Monday to Friday from early January. They have a listenership of about 1.9 million. I thought it was bigger than that, but that's their average listenership. On weekends, he'll present a dedicated Irish weekend show across Wireless Ireland stations, Dublin Q102, Cork 96FM, Live 95 in Limerick and LMFM. That's an interesting move as I'm a radio consumer here, a listener, that we are going down the route in this Ireland of networking shows. Because when I was working at Northwest Radio, there was one show, a lot of the shows actually were dual shows that went out in Midwest and Northwest Radio. And my recollection at the time was the BI weren't too in favour of that because each region deserved their own output, what I mean.
Yeah.
But now what we're going to see is the one show across those five stations, which of course is going to displace people from jobs and is going to be broadcasting it from Britain. I suppose it's great for him. He can give RTE a two-fingered salute, but it does change the landscape of Irish radio and local and regional radio, I think, to have one show across five stations. I don't know. What do you think, Michael?
Yeah, I agree. And I do think, that's one of the absolute aces in the hole that local radio has around the country, or in any country, but it's that it has that local thing and it's that specific thing. When you start working against that, and you start networking things, then surely you're just doing the same as what's available. It's meant to be an alternative. And, you know, the number of times you would turn on this show and hear something that's important to us locally that you would never, ever hear on a national platform, then when you start working against that, it does seem to defeat the purpose of the existence. So I agree completely. And I never even thought of that thing about, obviously, shows and producers.
Well, people that are already displaced. Doing it and talent. You know, there's talent that maybe might get their break on a Saturday across five stations that potentially won't.
And those five new talents will probably actually end up being cheaper than one Ryan Tucker.
No.
Oh, for sure.
As well as being more relevant to their listenership.
Listen, I wish him nothing but success, because I would wish that of anyone. But I just thought it does change, for anyone with an interest in radio and media, it does change the landscape. And I don't see how it can do it for better, because you're going to have one person, one voice across a whole host of stations. And as I say, I'm surprised the BEI signed off on that, if the truth be told. Right, are you in a Star Wars rabbit hole or something?
Yes.
In God's name is going on?
I disappeared massively down a Star Wars rabbit hole. I tell you what happened was, I saw the trailers for the new series Ahsoka that was coming out, and it's well out now at this stage. But then I was told, well, if you really want, that's a bit like what we were saying about the Marvel movies. You really should watch
Now look,
The Clone Wars and Rebels, which are two
cartoon series, animated series. And but it kind of suited because I'm working a lot of nights and these they're only kind of bite-sized 20-minute episodes, so you can come in, you can watch two of them. You know, you're not making that huge commitment, right? This is an hour. You can go, I can bail out after 20 minutes. And then I got really, really into them. And God help me, I still haven't got around to Ahsoka. I'm after watching 7 series of The Clone Wars. And I just finished all 4 series of Rebels.
Wow.
So this is over about 3 months. It's got to the stage my kids come in and they go, are you watching cartoons again? You know, it's a total role reversal. But they're really good.
Yeah, all right. And you're a big fan of them too, is it?
No, Star Wars isn't my thing at all. Star Trek, yeah. I mean, it's just...
Star Trek do the cartoons as well?
They do.
All right, okay, that's where I got...
Yeah, you're right.
You see, and here's the thing, because I was thinking about this, right? And see, Star Trek was a TV series, right? Whereas with Star Wars, traditionally, you had bang a movie.
Yeah.
And of course, what you can always do in a TV series, you have that time and latitude to develop characters.
Mm.
And they do this in the animated series.
Mm-hmm.
And in actual way, it's funny, the real life characters in the real life movies are actually more cartoonish than the characters in the cartoon series.
Yeah. Wow.
Because you have 3 hours, he's a goody, he's a baddie.
Yeah.
Where there's loads of nuance, there's character developments, there's character arcs. And they delve into some really kind of interesting concepts.
But why would we go down the route of doing it through animation and then not live action? Because I presume the audience would be broader for live action.
I presume it would. I presume there'd be people that would be just turned off by animation. Yeah. Assume it's for kids. I also assume that, you know, you'd be talking about what? Probably about 70, 80 hours across the two series, which is going to be very, very expensive to produce. But you're dealing into, like, there's questions like, you know, in a war between good and evil, is pacifism a choice? Which is kind of a deep philosophical question.
Yep.
They also kind of look into, you know, the whole idea of the military-industrial complex, that there's these people that just want war to keep going and don't want any side to win because there's money in it. So it's delving into a lot of, you know, it's not just Darth Vader, Luke, I am your father. They're delving into these quite really interesting, deeper, quite mature concepts.
Should be
and if their target audience is 13, 14, 15-year-old kids and they start raising these questions and get them thinking like this, I think that's a great thing.
I remember when Michael was talking about the Star Trek animated series, that it sort of gave it a bit of latitude to go where it would be difficult to go with live action. Is it the same with Star Wars?
It is. I mean, you can kill off a kind of beloved character in cold blood easier in animation. Mm. It doesn't have the impact, you know? And there are a few things that have happened and you go, oof, you wouldn't see that in a Star Wars film. So again, you know, with the characterization, with the themes that are brought up, and also in what you can show, paradoxically the cartoons are less cartoonish than the films, if you get
me. Yeah, and I suppose the longer you watch them, then you step out of that and watching a cartoon, don't you?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And the thing with Star Wars is a lot of that kind of the CGI animation is, you know, in the space battles and the outdoor scenes, it's on a par with what you're seeing in the cinema anyway.
Yeah.
So you very quickly adjust to the fact that they're not, you know, real human faces. They still do a fantastic job of even subtly conveying emotions and a look here and a look there, you know. So I would say, you know, when you get past the first 20-minute episode, you're actually past the fact that it's animated.
Interesting. I can sometimes find that with subtitles as well. Completely different, but kind of the same. All right. Yeah. More from Michael Eddy and Colin Malone in a second, but I want to introduce to the programme now filmmaker Ken Wardrop. Good morning to you, Ken. Hopefully you can hear me okay. No, he's actually frozen. Right, we'll get back to Ken in a second because we want to be talking about his new show or his new documentary very shortly. I'll try and bring it back in here so we get on. The wonders of technology. Everything was working grand. And then, you know, we were doing so well all day. Right, Ken's going to be joining us very shortly. Just a reminder that you can win a €50 voucher for fuel at Circle K by answering the following question. What's the name of the robot in Kelly's Diner at the Mountaintop in Letterkenny? Is it A, Oreo, or B, Marchine? Text to WhatsApp 086 60 25000 or give us a call on 074 91 25000. Right. Okay. let's see what I want to go to next with you. Pick one out for me. There's a lot of stuff here on yours going from Apple to Netflix. We'll go to the stage again in a moment,
okay,
just to take something from the streaming services.
Let's talk about an Irish film, Lakelands, which is on Apple. I had a chance to see this up at the Disappear Film Festival a couple of months ago, and it's an Irish movie. It's a movie that stayed with me. It's an Irish movie that I heartily recommend. It's always great when you find something that's just, it's as good as any. Now, this is not, like last year, the best movie of the year for me was on Colleen Kuehn, which I thought was just, I thought nothing came close to that. So this isn't in that level, but that doesn't mean it's still not a great film. It's a very simple story of a young lad. He's a GAA, up and coming GAA star. And on a night out, he gets into a little scuffle. It seems quite minor. He's shoved, he's falls, nothing major. But it actually ends up being an injury that impacts on his ability to play anymore. He can no longer be part of the GAA team. And the story of the film is just the story of how he doesn't really cope very well with that. And it's that very human thing that I think we've all done at different times, is pass it off and not let on to people how badly injured you might be and carry on, despite the fact that the consequences of his injury will get more severe if he doesn't cop himself on and stop playing. There's nothing else to that story. And yet, it's as engrossing as any big summer blockbuster for me. It's so well acted, In a Hard Week. And Danielle Galligan, who people will probably know best now from being the best friend on Obituary, which is RTE's highly praised weekly series, which finished there before Halloween. This is a very human story. It's not a true story from what Anthony I can gather, but it feels like the sort of thing where you think, I think we've all known a lad, or we knew of a lad who was in a similar sort of position. And it's just this ordinary guy working on the farm, and over the first half hour, second half hour, third, you really care about him. You become very much invested. And even though the stakes seem quite low, by the time you get into that final act of the movie, you really care. You're wondering, is this guy going to cope with this? Is he going to pull through? What's going to happen to him? I thought it was a brilliant film.
Is there a review system on Apple Plus? It'd be interesting to see what
what the response to it is. Yeah, I don't know off the top of my head.
I don't know how many people have Apple Plus here. Is it kind of buried a wee bit?
And even on Rotten Tomatoes, the critics have raved about this, but there's not very many critical reviews. But there's no audience score because it's not sufficiently reviewed.
It's a big deal to get on that platform.
Oh yeah.
We'll have to wait and see.
But so, I do point people towards Lakelands. I thought it was a wonderful, and again, go in there with your expectations muted to the fact that it's a very simple, basic story. There's no fireworks, it's nothing major, but I swear, as soon as the story gets up and running, you become very invested in this guy, and you just really care about what happens to him, and it's very realistic.
All right, now, just to let you know, the Donegal's annual fully inclusive Purple Tie Gala Ball takes place at Harvey's Point, Loch Esk, on Friday the 22nd of December. There's a drinks reception, dinner, a live band, disco and raffle, and the master of ceremonies is Mr. Noel Cunningham, who is a very special night this weekend, marking his 70th birthday and his retirement from Harvey's Point, but he'll be back there before he's actually officially left, so to speak, to be master of ceremonies for this event. We're joined on the programme by Wendy Fitzgerald McCarry, Chief Executive of the Blue Stack Special Needs Foundation, and it's always a big night, Wendy, and it's going to be proved to be another great night again, and it's right in the mouth of Christmas as well.
Yes, it is. How are you, Greg?
Good.
Nice to talk to you again.
So tickets are still available. Tell us about the night. I mean, I've ran through the headline stuff there, but it's a great night out, isn't it?
It is a fantastic night, and I suppose to tell you where it all came out of, my own daughter, as you know, has additional needs, and she's coming up to her 18th birthday. And, you know, it just kind of dawned on all of us that the chances of her being ever invited to a ball are pretty slim. The chances of her ever going, you know, and having an opportunity to go and dress up and, you know, get the makeup and the hair done and are pretty slim. And we were very lucky in that Tony from the Mill Park Hotel had approached us last year and wanted to do something for us as a fundraiser. And we had a good chat about it and what we could do. And we thought, well, wouldn't it be great if we did have a fully inclusive gala ball? You know, and last year was our first year running it. It was a fantastic night. And this year, Harvey's Point have very graciously agreed to host it with us and given us very favourable terms. You know, along with all the rest of the support that they do for us down in Harvey's Point. And as you probably know, Noel is the patron of the organisation and is a huge supporter for us as well. But yeah, it is a fantastic night.
And that favourable rates you talk of has allowed ticket prices to be set at €60 for all of what we mentioned. But also there's a rate of €25 for young adults with additional needs at 16 plus as well. So that also talks to the inclusivity of this event.
100%. You know, I mean, I think it's really important that we make it as accessible as possible. It is a fantastic value for money night out. It's a brilliant night in terms of, you know, local companies who support us having their staff parties, having their staff nights out. You know, nobody enjoys themselves like our young adults when they get out and the fun they have. There's a lack of inhibition and, you know, it just makes us all really have a good night. And I know last year was a fantastic night and I'm hoping that this year will be equally fantastic, you know. And the tickets are still available. There's not a whole lot of them still available. But, you know, it is a very inclusive night. And it is, you know, last year, I know for my own daughter, it was really lovely. Her brothers were with her. So it was lovely for them to be going somewhere that for her, you know, rather than her always tagging along with them. And everybody really enjoyed it. It was a fantastic night. Absolutely brilliant.
So just
thanks to Harvey's for this year now.
No problem. And just to remind people, it's Donegal's annual fully inclusive purple tie gala ball. It's in the beautiful setting of Harvey's Point. It's from 6 p.m. on Friday, the 22nd of December. So you can set it as your Christmas night as well, or whatever you want to do with it. There's a drinks reception, dinner, live band, disco and raffle, and Master of Ceremonies, the one and only Mr. Noel Cunningham. The tickets are €60 or €25 for young adults with additional needs at 16 plus. Now, if you want more information or to purchase tickets, you can call 97408 28 or go to bluestackfoundation.com. And as you mentioned there, tickets, there are a few available. People really need to get on it as soon as they can, Wendy, I think, if they want
to
go.
Absolutely, yeah. And like I say, if you can actually book the tickets online by going to the website, bluestackfoundation.com.
All right, a night to remember. No doubt about that. Okay, Wendy, listen, thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
No, it's our pleasure. And hopefully you'll be all sold out really, really soon. Okay, that's Wendy Fitzgerald McCarry there. Now, I hope I can go to Ken Wardrop, filmmaker. Good morning, Ken.
Good morning. How are you?
Great to have you. I am great. And well done, the documentary. So this is Christmas, released throughout Ireland today, including locally the Century Cinema in Letterkenny. Must be a great feeling.
Oh, of course it is. It's always great to get an opportunity to get your film out into the world. And we've had a wonderful reaction to it. We had our premiere at the Cork Film Festival there on Friday night, and we've done some preview screenings, and it's getting a lot of buzz, which is really wonderful because it is obviously a documentary, and encouraging audiences into documentaries is kind of complicated. And I think this is a particularly important film. It has a message there that I think we'll all relate to as well. And it's super exciting. And so, thank you so much for your support.
It's our pleasure. And I'm really interested for you to describe, rather than me trying to interpret, because I haven't seen it. I want you to describe what it's about and how you made it.
Yeah, sure. Well, the film is about five characters and their struggles, I guess, in the lead up to Christmas last year. And the premise really came from the fact that I lost my grandmother on Christmas Day when I was 12 years of age. She passed away. She was staying with us at the time. And that left a darkness and a cloud over Christmas thereafter for quite some years, because she was very close to my mom and to all of us. But it really impacted. It meant Christmas was something different for our family. And I suppose it stayed with me. And Christmas, it can be a very complicated time of year for people. It can be almost the perfect storm if you have problems, and then you're subjected to all the kind of, you know, the commercialization and the frivolous and the joy and, you know, what it's meant to be and the expectations. And I just thought it would be interesting to throw a light on that and see what real lives are like as opposed to the Instagrammable ones that we see.
And I suppose you have to strike a balance in that, because especially as it being released into Christmas, you don't want to say how dare you enjoy Christmas because it's not like that for other people. Do you know what I mean? That's not what you want to do. You want maybe people to think and reflect and enjoy Christmas even more, or maybe even think about things a little more.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's only, I've thrown out something for us all to think about. It is full. This film has lots of humor, lots of joy, but most importantly, even though there are a lot, there's a lot of tears and darkness in this, there is so much to hope because these people are so resilient. And I think that was something that came out of the, to be honest, the first working title for the film was I Hate Christmas. So it was going to be a more irreverent approach to it all. And then I suddenly started to meet all these wonderful people and they changed my perspective on it. So I'd like to take some of the credit, but I'm afraid I can't take all of it because it was through their stories and what they taught me about life and the meaning behind Christmas, really. And it has come out to be quite a special film like that. And it's not a downer by any means. And it's not out there to ruin people's Christmas because I like Christmas as much as anybody else. But the thing that I hang on to, the memories that I have, and this will be poignant for myself to explain, but some of the memories that I have about Christmas are like my mum having the fire in the good room. I think we'll all know that there's the good room that only gets used once or twice a year sometimes. And we had this good, and it was coming down and that fire being lit and lying down on the carpet and playing with the toys. And that's what, I don't remember the toys, but I remember the feeling I had. And I think that's what I wanted to create with this film. And this year, and it's kind of ironic and terrible at the same time, but I lost my mum this year, earlier in the summer. And Christmas for me now this year is going to be, you know, a difficult time of year. And although I have my own other worries apart from grief, it's just the addition now of grief and the memories and all that I'll have around the kitchen table and just seeing her empty seat will be make it very different, to say the least. So, and let's face it, the Irish mammy makes Christmas. They are the heart and soul of it all, especially in our eyes. So I think, anyway, as I said, it is full of joy and it's full of love.
Yeah, very sorry for your loss, Ken. It's clear that both your mother and your granny meant so much to you. And we all deal with things in different ways. But as we do get older, Christmas does change. And I think even if you have a sadness in your life that's not, or a loss in your life that's not around Christmas, you do feel it even more so at Christmas. And for some, they can celebrate that. And for others, they can't celebrate at all. And that's what makes us all different, isn't it? How we deal with these things. But I hope you have lots of very loving people around you nonetheless, Ken, for Christmas. Do we know when, or do you know when it'll get a release outside of the cinema? I know these wheels can turn quite slowly, or maybe you've got something in place. We want to encourage people to get along to the Century Cinema and watch it, of course, on the big screen as you intended when you were making it. But when do you think we might, is there any other platform secured at this point, Ken?
Well, of course there will be down the line, but essentially we've got a window of opportunity to get it out in the cinemas. And you're right, people have to see this in the cinema because even though it's a documentary, it's not a fly in the wall thing. It's not like we were running around with a camera. We actually were shooting on 35mm. I had 9 crew. It looks absolutely spectacular. And it has, the music has been scored by Eimear Noon, who was the first lady ever to conduct the Oscars orchestra. So it has that big feel to it. So I don't want to even talk about the future and any of those.
Just go to the cinema. Yeah, okay.
It's all about the cinema. And you know what it is? It is a shared experience. And having had the responses to this movie and coming out and hearing audience talking about, you can sense that people want to talk about this and they want to share and they're holding hands during the experience and so forth. Because these people that feature in the film are so familiar to us all. They could be our neighbors, our cousins, our friends, you know. And I think so, I'm not going to go there, basically.
I hear you. Ken, look after yourself. Congratulations.
Thank you so much.
And I hope it gets the audiences it certainly deserves by the way you've described it and the audience reactions so far. Thanks for your time.
Thank you.
All right. It's been great having you on the program. Take care. That is Ken Warder, filmmaker there. More from our two guests in studio, Michael and Connor, after these. But before I go, it's going to be the last shout here. I just want to remind you what Kellys are doing. They're getting ready for the Santa season and they're celebrating their community this Christmas. They're going to be working with little angels and raising funds over the festive season. And they have a number of giveaways in store and on social media. And there'll be golden tickets in stores with discounts and a grand prize. And you may see the team out and about with a very special guest. And as December 25th approaches, I wonder, is it you know who? But anyway, today, one lucky listener will win a €50 fuel voucher to fuel up at Circle K. The question is, what is the name of the robot now working in Kelly's Diner in the Mountaintop? Is it A, Oreo, or is it B, Marchine? Text or WhatsApp 086 60 25,000. Caroline, you checked that question, did you? It's not my fault if anyone gets upset, all right. But text in your answer, your name, where you're from. It's fun, like, but I've tried to have fun before and got in trouble. But anyway, it's Caroline's question. We'll have a winner pick for us in the next 15 minutes. More from Connor and Michael after these. It's funny in the weather forecast, they'll always talk about rain spreading from the northwest. But it still actually only spreads into us. It never emanates from the sunny southeast or the sunny southwest, does it? But anyway, right. John Bresson's going to be broadcasting around the northwest live from Boyce's Centre on Main Street, Falkara, from 12:30, celebrating the revamp of the store there. So if you're, it's good crack, you know, when there's an OB at a premises. So call down and say hello. Bring the kids down if they are with you. Or off school or whatever it might be, or even maybe not at school. As I say, it's a nice little buzz and there's normally nice little things to enjoy for free when you get there as well. And to see the great investment the Boyces have made in Centre on the Main Street there in Falkara. Hi, Highland Radio Station. Does anyone of your listeners know when the movie In the Land of Saints and Sinners on Netflix or when it's going to be in the cinema? Now, this is the Liam Neeson film that was shot an awful lot down the south of the county. I was checking Wikipedia and other sources. I thought it was coming up. Have you checked since?
No.
You don't know?
I'm waiting on this.
So I presume it's going to be a limited cinema release in Netflix, but there's no indication as of yet when it's going to be shown, or I haven't got it. Maybe listeners out there have the inside line. Two things I watched this week and would highly recommend. Convicted on Netflix. Someone reinvestigates their cases. It's great. Another, The Billionaire, The Butler and The Boyfriend. Can't say too much without giving it away, but definitely worth a watch. The Billionaire, The Butler and The Boyfriend. Sounds like quite the triangle there. Hi, Greg and the TV treats. That's used to. I'm assuming you saw the Toy Show ad last night. I'm reminded that I remember Gabo enjoying it better than Pat. I did see it on socials. I thought they've done really well there. Although there was a memorable moment when a caller brazenly only wanted the 10K and Pat tore up two Toy Show tickets after being rebuffed. As far as I know, that carried on in the media for days. Can you tell head of social media, Katie, that she can catch more festive films on Christmas 24 and a premiere most Saturdays from the US as I've taped these, but you can't with Channel 5? Dirty Dozen on 5 tonight for Michael, but I'm sure they've done a Christmas special. And tell Michael, Brie Larson sequel, it was okay, funny, but not marvellous.
Okay.
And I've heard of snakes on a plane, but cats on a rocket. Funnily enough, Samuel L. Jackson was in both. That is, as always, Kevin puts a bit of thought into his contributions. Thanks, Kev. Right, Christmas Panto. Foundered. It's in the Baller, and you've got it down on your list as well, Michael. So I'll go with you first, Connor.
Oh, I thought you were sorry.
I know.
You're really truly careful.
That's a kind of fleet-footed presentation style. Award-winning, let me mention.
We're just over a week away now from opening. It opens on Saturday, January 25th. So it is essentially, it's Frozen, but we've Donegalicized the name to Foundered. Which is
brilliant. I laughed when I read the thing last.
Do you know what?
I laughed so
we're
much.
Getting a great reaction off people for it. And
so instead of Let It Go, it's like cop yourself on.
Well, do you know, I was going to say that because we were trying to rack our brains and go, what could you put in? What would be a Donegalicized version of Let It Go? Dry your eyes, you know.
Did you actually come up with something? So that, do you Donegalize the songs as well?
I don't know. I'm not involved in
end
of it.
Oh, right. Okay, exciting.
So
right.
Kind of, we had this kind of, this was when they came up with the idea. It's the Butt Ram Circles Panto. So when they came up there, we're doing Frozen, we're going to call it Foundered. And we had that conversation, but I don't know if it ever got anywhere. They might have progressed in rehearsal since, but anyone has a last minute suggestion there for a Donegalicized version of Let It Go.
You'll be grand.
Yeah.
You'll be grand.
Yeah.
You'll be grand.
Yeah.
You'll be grand. Yeah. Let it go.
Let it go is more like,
let it go.
It's more zen-like. Yeah, let it go.
Anyway,
yes,
that's not really. This is like we've just decided to make it's actually made. It's rehearsed. It's ready to go, folks.
We're ready to do it.
And it's next. It starts next Saturday, the 25th. People love the panto. For some people, it's the toy show. For some people, it's the panto that starts
Huge.
It off,
yep.
Michael. Because by the 25th of November, even your Scrooges are going to have to concede we're in the Christmas period.
Yeah, you're at that. Yeah, it's running from the 25th to the 9th of December on different days. You've got the Saturday, Sunday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, then the Saturday, Sunday, then the Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and then it finishes up on the Saturday at the 9th. I mean, they're going to be packed houses. Panto's, it's a huge family thing across the region, obviously, and people are going to be excited about it. And I say, I read this last night and I was chuckling away. I was like, I love it. Foundered. And it is frozen, but it's...
I should warn people, 7 of the 12 shows are sold out already.
Yeah.
The Saturdays and Sundays are the matinees. They're 4 o'clock.
Oh, right, yeah.
The weekday shows are 8 o'clock. But essentially, I think all the matinees are sold out and the Fridays. So you're left with the Wednesday.
You don't really have to market that much, do you, for that to happen? That's not to do the marketing team any disservice, but, I mean, that's a huge response, really, isn't it?
It is. And, you know, I think it might be... It's pretty similar every year, and it just is the fact that it's the institution of the panto, and it's always on. It's the last week in November it starts. And as you say, for a lot of people, you know, especially in the Twin Towns area, you know, the start of the panto is, right, it's officially Christmas season. The panto is on now, and, you know, so you have it, you have the Christmas lights going on in the town, you have the panto starting.
McElhenney's window,
and just... It has just become an institution. Yeah. Essentially, I'll still take the credit for it, but essentially it sells itself.
I think it sells itself, Connor. You do well throughout the rest of the year. You get enough for it. No. But it was more just that it's reputational, you see. You know, people know they're going to get something. You know, and that's because people don't go back to something unless they know what to expect.
Yeah, and in
we're
fairness,
fussy.
Yeah,
we're fussy
100%,
folks.
Yeah,
and in fairness to the Butt Drama Circle, they do put on a great show every year, and they also keep the prices really, really reasonable.
Yeah,
I mean,
so it's Foundered.
12 euro for an adult is...
Foundered. The Christmas panto. It starts Saturday the 25th of November and runs till Saturday the 9th of December. Is effectively
Christmas.
Actually,
you know, one of the biggest debates was, do we spell it F-O-U-N-D-E-R-E-D?
Oh, no.
Or do we use an
apostrophe?
Foundered. Yeah.
Founder, apostrophe D.
You think?
I don't know. I think so. What do you think?
I can see it working with the apostrophe. I love that discussions like that happen.
I think the play on words come across a bit, but the play on words comes across a bit more if it's more casually written.
Yeah.
Do you know? Right, okay, Founder, the Christmas panto. Check the website.
Suss out
availability the details there. But matinees are sold out?
Matinees are sold out.
Okay, save people searching for that. All right, okay.
Yeah, you're looking at your Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday.
All right, okay. Anything festive for you in the last 2 minutes here?
It's not festive, but I'm ridiculously excited that The Dirty Dozen is on tonight. That was a great message that came in. I want to see that again. It's like it's another one of those. Like, I've been revisiting, obviously, the Clint Eastwood movies and stuff like that with the Man with No Name trilogy and stuff like that. But The Dirty Dozen is right in my wheelhouse. And I looked to see what was coming up because I like to throw on something terrestrial on the thing, but I didn't see that, so I'm delighted. That's on tonight, he said. So excellent.
Excellent.
Not very festive, but I'm gladdened my heart.
I still have time to speak to you, but I just want to make sure that I announce the winner. Oreo, of course, is the name of the super robot at Kelly's Centre, and I saw it in action yesterday. It's quite cool. That comes in from, the winning answer comes in from Declan McCrossan in Ron in Letterkenny. Declan, you have a 50 euro fuel voucher to use at Circle K, and keep an eye out for all the team at Kelly, celebrating the community this Christmas, working with little angels, loads of stuff in store, and they may well be out and about. Declan McCrossan, you have 50 euro in your pocket there, which is significant. Yep. Right, so, Connor, are you Christmassy?
Not really.
No, I didn't think you were going to be.
Why not?
Because, you know, I just can't see you in the family in matching Christmas pyjamas on Instagram.
No.
That's all.
I'm kind of...
mellowing?
I'm being reintroduced through the eyes of the children.
Yeah,
you know
of
I mean?
Course. Yeah.
Yeah. But now they're kind of 16 and 14, so they're growing tired of it as well. So it's gone back down in the trough. But No, I do kind of just enjoy the days of doing nothing. And
yeah, exactly. You know. And that's what the whole idea is. You take from it what you will, don't you? I mean, whatever you feel most comfortable with. What about you, Michael?
I'm not very Christmassy. I mean, there's three lads here in the house. We don't put up a Christmas tree.
No,
we
don't come
We don't. Oh, no, if I put up a Christmas tree or suggested to the other two, they would immediately wonder what the heck was wrong with me. We don't bother with that. We market in our own way, and I do my own things. I like to save up Christmas episodes of sitcoms, like a Christmas Cheers or a Cheers episode or something like that. But I sometimes reflect on the past and families and grown up and stuff.
We
like
all do that.
But we all do that. But yeah, I'm not going to pretend that I'm wearing a Christmas jumper.
Right, okay.
Under the
well,
tree.
I'll do it for all of
you.
These.
Can do it. It's different with your kids.
Connor, thank you so very much. It's really always great to have you up. I do appreciate it. A continued success at the Baller.
Thank you,
Michael Eddy. As always, you know yourself how much we love having you up.
Love it.
That's it for the weekend. We'll be back with you on Monday morning at 9:00.